You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, yes, I really need a word, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a windy tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number three, and this is the Common Sense Show, and we come to you live every Sunday evening at this time from 8 p.m. Eastern to 11 p.m., and it would start at 5 p.m. on the West Coast. You can fill in the gaps. And if you're listening for the first time, this is pretty typical what we do. We like to say that we are freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And just a couple of real small housekeeping items here. Just want to remind everybody about Scene.life. And I now have a professional relationship with Scene.life as they asked me to be their national spokesperson. And Scene.life will get you away from the tyranny of Facebook, Zuckerberg, spying, assassinate Donald Trump pages on Facebook while banning you for daring to talk about Hillary Clinton's criminality. And Scene.life works a lot like Facebook. In fact, sometimes I think I'm on it. I have my own page there, thecommonsenseshow.com, and I'm making some appearances around the country selling this because, again, why is Dave Hodges involved in this? Very quickly, I'm involved with this because Donald Trump has awakened a sleeping giant, a good number, millions of American people who were previously, well, shall we say, into cognitive dissonance. And now they want answers, now they're angry, and they need to be educated. And they're coming to us many times with one and two issues, and we know this is a lifestyle battle, good versus evil, and they need a place to coalesce. They need a place to share and to grow. And we need social media to do this, particularly with the younger generation. And the younger generation, more so than the older generation, needs this social media. So Scene.life is a great replacement for Facebook, and I can't endorse it more strongly. I'm friends with Mike Roach, who is in charge of running this, and Chris Kitsky, the owner. I know them personally. I've had relationships with them both personally and professionally for a few years now. They are the real deal, and their heart's in the right place. Their heart's in the same place as you just heard with Steve Quayle. They want freedom. They want people to be saved and so forth. So Scene.life, and I can't recommend that more strongly. Also, if after the show you go up to thecommonsenseshow.com, or if you're listening to us right there, you can click this on. But in the carousel that contains our last 10 publications, I have dropped back in our YouTube link. And a lot of you who don't get to listen to the entire show, and sometimes on the East Coast you got to go to bed early because you got to get up and go to work, and we understand that, and you want to hear the archives. We are posting all of our archives, and we're going to do it two different ways. One, we're going to begin to post all 3 hours at one time. So it's just one-stop shopping for the archives. Excuse me. And number two, we are also going to take some of the themes out of what we cover with our guests and turn them into storylines, and we'll repost individual hours and tie them into themes with some narrative dialogue with links. And I think you'll enjoy that. And there's a third feature I have up there too. Sometimes I don't want to take the 2 to 3 hours it'll take to write a 1600 word article, but I've got something I want to get off my chest, something that I think people need to know. And yours truly is taken to the world of podcasts. It's straightforward, it's simple. And generally speaking, the longest one's 24 minutes, but generally they average between 6 and 7 minutes. So it's a great way to get your feet wet on a topic, find out about it without spending a great amount of time, because I understand that time is precious to all of us. So we have podcasts up there, and we've renamed it in honor of what I've done before, the Red List News. So we would encourage you to pick up on that at Facebook too. And we are moving a good portion of what we do to Facebook. Yes, we still have our website. Yes, I'm going to run the works of other great writers out there such as Mike Adams and so forth, but we are really going to move a lot of our archived operations to YouTube, because it's so convenient for people. And it's so easy to download those, turn them into an MP3, and take them with you on your social media player. And I think that you guys are really going to like it. We've received so much positive feedback, and I think we're somewhere around 1,700 subscribers, and we've been doing this since March 31st, so that's what, 11 days? That's pretty good progress, so I'd encourage you to subscribe. We also have a newsletter at thecommonsenseshow.com that you can subscribe to, and we would encourage you to do that too, and everything that we published in the last 24 hours will end up every morning in your email box, 4 o'clock in the Pacific time zone, 7 a.m. on the Eastern time zone. Well, we are now officially into our health reports with our esteemed health reporter. I can't call her the health chick. She's too good for that. She's a lot smarter than I am on this stuff.
I was just going to say health chick reporting for duty.
but I can't do that. Some people go, oh, Dave, denigrating women, Katie's going along with it. No. The listening audience has no idea, unless you know me well, know me personally, how much I respect this lady, how intelligent she is. We already know about her courage with her recent fight with the C word that the Nazi FDA won't let us say on the radio. Did you hear that, folks? Yes. Talk about it at some point. But we know about her courage. We know about her integrity. We know about her care and compassion for fellow human beings. And she's someone who has shown us she lives what she talks about, and she lives it successfully. Katie, what's up with the health report tonight?
Well, thank you. Wow, that was a wild 2 hours. I love it. So we're going to make another wild 1 hour. But the health report, tonight's focus. I was thinking about what, we cover so many different things, but it's late in the hour. What's the push? The push is, I want to push people, literally push them into thinking about getting going now on good health, making them aware of what this matrix has been doing to us. So I wrote a little blurb. It says, we have become so sick over the last several decades. I mean, think about that. From infants to teens to especially those in their 40s through 60s. What's up with that? Cancer rates in the early part of the century used to be minuscule, and now it is the second highest killer below heart disease. The number one killer back at the turn of the century was influenza, TB, enteritis, which is intestinal infections and diarrhea. People would die from that. But through the discovery of bacteria and basic hygiene, things turned around. And not the killers of today. Now the killers of today are toxins and food-related toxins. So it is absolutely no wonder why we are a sick nation. And worst of all, we are the hamsters on the giant money-making wheel for the industries feeding us and treating the maladies that result from the poison we now call food. Think about that. What a scam. And we're going on with our lives. We don't think about it. Half the things we're eating, probably more than half the things we're eating on a daily basis, are not food. I mean, they're putting additives like sawdust and bakery products and Monsanto's glyphosates are sprayed all over our fruits and our vegetables. This is a neurotoxin. This is what kills weeds. What's it doing to us? So it kind of makes you wonder why the giant food companies and pharmaceutical companies are using the FDA to shut anyone up who dares to challenge their highly organized and efficiently run mafia. We can call the Food and Drug Agency. So the very agency given the task to oversee the health and safety of our food supply allows food that poisons the people. Then they give a wink to the drug companies to create new drugs and poisons that mask the symptoms in our bodies as a result of eating our toxic food supply. And that it destroys our immune system in the hopes that the very disease the toxic food created will be killed off. And the drug and medical industry make hundreds of billions of dollars off the very hamsters stuck in this wheel, meaning us. What a racket. I mean, it's just evil. So I'm going to plug a few things. I want the audience to take note and really take some action. Be proactive, folks. Now is the time. There is a gentleman by the name of Ty Bollinger, and many people in the audience have heard of him, read his book.
Yeah, we've interviewed Todd a number of times on the show.
Great. Well, he has a story. I mean, his father died of an agonizing death of cancer, and it really racked him up, and so he went on a global quest to find out what is this really all about. What is cancer? What are different countries? What are different people doing about cancer, different treatments? And so he traveled the globe, and it's called The Truth About Cancer. And if people go to my blog, they can click a link right at the top, and starting tomorrow, he's releasing his 9-part documentary, which normally you had to buy it, but he's had it. He's fed up. He's saying, okay, the walls are coming down. The gloves are off. We're going at this. The secrets that the drug companies and their strong arms have kept down are now coming out. So he went on an incredible global quest to find out what this is really all about. What are the treatments? What are other countries doing about this? What are some of the alternative methods out there? And what he found will astound everyone. So if you go to theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com, you will click the link and you can sign up. Just put your name and your email, and you can tap right into this 12-part series. And I encourage everyone to do this. Please tell your friends. Get this link out there. I think last I looked, there were 1.2 million people signed up. This should be 50 million people, 100 million people signing up for this. So that's my plug for that. That starts tomorrow. And I also wanted to...
What I wonder about is, at what point does the FDA shut him down? I don't want to ruin anyone's brain what they're up to.
I don't know. We'll find out, won't we? Because there's a lot of people that know this is coming out. And if it gets shut down, it's one more confirmation. You know, you can't keep the truth quiet. You can't keep the truth down forever. And we all know from everything Steve's talked about in the last 2 hours, what the scripture says, things are coming to the surface. It's all coming out. It's panic time for the elite. But, you know, that's the times we live in. The opportunities are out there to learn. I encourage everyone to learn what you can. And there's a wonderful book. Mike Adams was on a few months ago, and he had a book called Food Forensics. Well, I looked into this, and there was a woman named Catherine Frompovich who was recently asked to review the book, and she did a great piece from activistpost.com called What's in Your Food? Do You Know? You can also go to Natural News and get information on food forensics. And you can also go to labs.naturalnews.com for a short video on Mike Adams' lab where he tested the foods. He wanted to know what we're eating. He goes over dog foods, people foods, just what's in there. And it is astounding to find out that he contacted a lot of these food manufacturers and told them what they found from his lab. They tested for metals, mercury, lead, tungsten, all these just things we should not be eating. And a lot of these food companies just sort of poo-pooed him. Oh, well, the FDA said we're okay, so we're okay. But I encourage you to go there, and I'm going to kind of read through this article that that Catherine wrote. And she says, I was recently asked to review Health Ranger Mike Adams' new book, Food Forensics, pre-publication, blah, blah, blah. It said, Mike operates the Food Forensics Laboratory, wherein all types of foods are assayed for various components, especially looking for what's called toxic or heavy metals that negatively impact health. I'm going to stop right here because when you click on that video that Mike has, it is amazing. He takes cornflakes and he puts them under a microscope. And, not cornflakes, I think it was Wheaties. You know, everything was fortified with iron, Dave. Remember that? Fortified with iron. Well, what he found was just iron shavings in the food. He put a bunch of these Wheaties, and they put a magnet. They moved a magnet close to these Wheaties, and the Wheaties just jumped onto the magnet. Then they magnified the Wheaties, and you can see these little chunks of metal fragments in the Wheaties. That's called iron fortification. Are you kidding me? We are eating this garbage. So I want people to understand what they're putting in their mouth, because what they're putting in their mouth, what they're breathing, what they're drinking, that's what's causing alarming cancer rates, alarming heart disease rates. I mean, these were things, what did I say? But I said earlier, the number one killers were influenza, but now things have turned around. So the number one killers today are heart disease, and the next down is cancer. Well, heart disease and cancer were at the bottom of the list at the turn of the century. Why the flip-flop? Because we're eating, breathing, and drinking the very reasons why we're getting so sick. So it says the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has no limits on tungsten. I mentioned tungsten. She said, I was disturbed, as Mike probably was, to find that organically grown foods coming from China are very questionable as to their nutritional safety, insofar as many of them contain toxic metals like tungsten. One of the ingredients for which Adams was told, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration had no limits on tungsten. One of the adverse health effects from tungsten can be stroke. Tungsten likes to hang on to the bones. It's like a hypocalcemia, and can cause seizures, coma, and encephalopathy, which is swelling of the lining of the brain. Dermatitis often appears in metal workers with it. So how does tungsten get into Chinese-grown food products? And these are organic food products. You know, I'm going to step aside here a little bit. We need to be smart. It was years ago that they started putting labels on food, and they had to put calories and salt, you know, sodium content and all that, and we thought that was great. Now it's the organic, it's the GMO project, U.S. certified organic. But you have to be so careful now, because the food companies are changing the names of certain ingredients. They've changed the name of aspartame now. So to some, I can't even remember. I read that a while back. I should have taken a note. But it's some nice, pretty name, natural something. And they're changing the names. So I was in the store the other day, and I saw these cans of sardines, because I thought this is a great source of my good fats. So I looked at these two boxes of sardines. They were identical, the identical company, identical boxes, except one said GMO project, or, you know, GMO free, and the other didn't. So I had to look very carefully. How many people just grab the product they want? So I grabbed the one that did not have the GMO free, and I looked and it said packed in oil. The one that was GMO free was packed in water. So I did a little research, and the sardines come from Morocco. But the oil, the olive oil it was packed in, was genetically modified. So it's these little things we have to be so savvy and so careful when we're shopping. And it smart consumers, folks, we have to be smart, 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 smart. However, and she goes on to say, however, as a brief point of reference, in China, a lot of industrial wastewaters are used to irrigate crops, including organically grown. Well, there seems to be no oversight to prevent that happening. So, boy, even if it says organic, I won't buy organic Mexico. I won't buy organic China. There's just certain things I won't do. So do a little research, folks. Figure out when you're shopping. Buy organic, please. And there was somebody asked me the other day about GMO foods. Well, to someone who doesn't understand or listen to the show, and they're new to the show, or they're new to the whole concept of health and eating better and trying to go disease-free, which by eating better, drinking better, living better, that will happen. There's an article from Newsmax.com called 7 Ways GMOs Affect Your Body. A genetically modified organism means they've gone in and literally changed the structure, the DNA structure of the food to make it resistant to pests or whatever the reasoning is. But here I'm going to run through, we have a little bit of time left, run through some of the reasons why, and I'll have these up on my blog, by the way, theessentialoilwelled.blogspot.com. Food allergies. Why do we have food allergies? When I was growing up, everybody ate, all the kids ate peanut butter. We all ate white bread. We all ate all kinds of things. Nobody had allergies, and now everybody's got allergies and IBS and intestinal issues and asthma. Oh my gosh. So food allergies, according to the Organic Consumers Association, the list of genetically modified food products intersect with the 8 most common food allergens: eggs, milk, fish, peanuts, shellfish, soy, tree nuts, and wheat. So another one is toxicity. A review of 19 studies, including industry's own studies submitted to regulators in support of applications to commercialize GM crops on mammals fed with commercialized genetically modified soy and maize that are already in our food and food chain, found consistent toxic effects on the liver and kidneys. Another aspect of eating genetically modified foods, infertility. According to the American Academy of Environmental Medicine, there is more than a casual association between genetically modified foods and adverse health effects. In a study on GM corn and fertility, there was a significant decrease in offspring over time and significantly lower litter weight of mice in genetically modified corn. Number 4, gluten disorders. Whoa, who doesn't have a gluten disorder? Remember, what, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, the big craze was gluten-free. We never had problems with gluten, did you, Dave? I didn't. Like I said, I remember making little balls out of Wonder Bread. They were loaded with gluten and shooting them across the cafeteria. I mean, that was the best part of Wonder Bread. So in 2013, report released by the Institute of Responsible Technology, internist Emily Linder, a medical doctor, states, based on my clinical experience, when I remove genetically modified foods as part of the treatment for gluten sensitivity, recovery is faster and more complete. So there you have it. That would include IBS, all kinds of intestinal issues. Number 5 is DNA transfer. GMOs are created using horizontal gene transfers as opposed to a natural reproduction, which is accomplished via vertical gene transfer. Horizontal gene transfer involves injecting a gene from one species into a completely different species, which yields unexpected and often unpredictable results. Again, we are lab rats, folks. There are concerns that GM DNA can transfer to humans and the environment. I'm going to go on to, you can continue reading this from Newsmax. Number 6, birth defects. Glyphosate is the active ingredient in the herbicide Roundup. Monsanto Company, considered the giant of GMOs, engineers Roundup Ready crops that are routinely treated with herbicide. According to Andres Carrasco, head of the Molecular Embryology Lab at the University of Buenos Aires, glyphosate is responsible for causing birth defects, infertility, sperm destruction, and cancer. And this is in our food. So number 7 is the big one, cancer. A study that linked GMOs and Roundup to cancer was first published in 2012, was retracted in 2013, and republished in 2014. That calls for an investigation right there. Wonder who made them pull that. The controversial study reported that rats were more likely to develop tumors and die after eating a diet of Monsanto GM corn. The study was retracted due to concerns about methodology, but the researchers claim Monsanto's economic interests were the cause. Kind of hard to believe. But this, folks, this is what they're feeding us. This is our food. Please be smart about how you shop, where you shop, what you're spending your good money on. Conventionally grown.
Say, Katie, let me ask you a question here as I listen to this. And I've taken all this in. Is the FDA, do you think, behind the steering of this? What's underlying this directional curve of depopulation through having us ingest horrible things in our diet?
Because I think, as I mentioned, it's the revolving gerbil wheel of, I believe, this is my opinion, but it doesn't take, I don't need to be a rocket scientist to put it together. You know, that Steve was saying that when you step back and you get a couple of pieces of the puzzle, then everything starts to make sense. But to me, we are just lab rats. And obviously, the whole food production mess came from profits. How can we make more food? Look at these farms where they have mass-produced cattle, mass-produced chickens. It's not family farming anymore, and the quality goes down. So it's profits. How can we get more food for less? So I think that's what started the whole ball of wax, was profits, profits, profits. So how can we start adding things to food that bulk it up, and it's not necessarily nutritious, but it's making people happy, it's making them eat more, it's marketing. Let's put additives in the food to make them come back. MSG is very addictive. High fructose corn syrup, sure, sugars are very addicting. Sugar is a killer. I could do a whole show on sugar. So they put these in the processing of foods, which strips all the nutrients out. What they're doing is they're making us big and fat and sick, and then here comes the pharmaceutical industry with a new pill, a new drug, a new symptom suppressor, a new treatment for the diseases that these toxic foods create. So we, the population, are stuck in this matrix of eating crummy food, toxic food, living in a toxic environment, and then we go to the medical industry to fix our ailments, but they're not fixing our ailments. That's why they're coming after me and everybody else who's seeking real, true, natural, God's natural medicines that work. Eating better.
My Katie, I'm not being paranoid, are you? Who's coming after you?
Who's coming after me? Let's see. Who do you think would be coming after me, Dave? The very agencies that my testimony is threatening?
I hate to say the F word. as in FDA?
The FDA.
Are they coming after you, Katie?
They could. My testimony is my personal testimony, and so far so good. I am moving in the right direction, and there are hundreds of thousands of people out there who've had success doing what I'm doing, and they've got books and videos and everything else out there, and that's what Ty Bollinger's. So I'm pushing this. Join forces. The more numbers, the better. This will push through. So that is my message tonight. Be proactive. I'm sorry?
Maybe we're going to cover this later, but the vocabulary Nazis?
The Nazis, owners, yes.
The owners of the English language. And people are saying, yes. What is Dave talking about? Is he smoking something? Yes, I'm smoking my FDA-approved hallucinogenic juice. That tells me the government is correct in all matters, including health and wellness.
Katie, I have to dance around my testimony because I can't use certain words.
We got about 2 minutes here. And I'll lay the stage here, and we're going to do a follow-up on this at a later time. But Katie is prohibited when she talks about her amazing recovery from C-A-N-S-E-R. See, if I misspell it, I really didn't say it. No, S-E-R, because if I misspell it...
No, that's
it,
good. That's code. We'll rewrite it.
Dot, dot, dash, dash. And she's prevented from saying certain things now because the FDA says they own the English language. I couldn't make this up. I couldn't think of this in a million years. Katie, tell them exactly what we're talking about in the time we got left, about a minute and a half.
Well, if I use certain words, if I use some of my protocols, and I talk about my body responding beautifully to cleaning it up and using organic foods and certain natural, God's natural medicines, if I say that my, if I say that my body has been healed, that's a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot say my body was C-U-R-E-D of the C word. That's a no-no. I can't do that.
This reminds me of George Carlin in the 7 dirtiest words you can't say on television.
Yeah.
But instead of expletives, we're talking you can't say healed, cancer, cure. What else can't you say, Katie?
Medicine, I believe. I can't use the word. I would challenge the FDA. When I say God's medicine, as in plants and roots and resins and different things, take it up with God, okay?
I agree.
That's not my battle.
Well, the FDA is not taking it up with God because they're a bunch of Satanists, Kabbalists, that a lot of them are... they've shifted over from Monsanto when they retire there to go to work for them, and they think they own the English language. They're a private corporation given a charter, and they somehow have obtained the ability to make their own laws in declaring certain words illegal. I mean, this is the food version of Fahrenheit 451. Katie, we're out of time, so tell everyone how they can get a hold of or follow your good work and find out more about the forbidden language.
They can go to my website. I have two websites. One is FamilyEssentialShop.com, and if you read through on the left column, you can figure out the maze of how to get to the products that I do promote. And you can also go to my blog, TheEssentialOilWell.blogspot.com, to read about all the. You can listen to the podcast and read all the health news that I've posted from there. Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Katie. Well, before we join our next guest, Joshua Coy, who's becoming a frequent regular on our show, let me just say that those of you who heard me talk about our sponsors early on, we're giving opportunity to obtain storable food, a way to purify your water, to have good currency exchange, to something that will actually work for you after the collapse, the smoke from the collapse clears. There's something else you're going to need, folks, because within 72 hours of a collapse, within 72 hours of food not moving, and with the Baltic Dry Index being at an all-time low, which is the sum measure of the product around the world, we could be in some real trouble. 72 hours later, you're going to have people beating down your doors, coming through your windows, because they haven't saved. FEMA tells us the average person doesn't have 72 hours worth of storable supplies. So what you're going to need is a way to protect it, and of course, your protector, AK-47s, 357, whatever you have, you're going to need accessories. And for that, I want to refer everyone to DETC Tactical. DETCTactical.com. Now, right now, my good friend Josh, who owns DETC Tactical, has a 5% off. You can do a Hodges 5. In fact, I've got the ad too at the end of every article on my website. You can check it out there too, and link directly in, but you got to go to the Hodges homepage to get there. So when you land on the homepage, click on Hodges up there in the upper menu, and you'll see the available specials that are there for Common Sense Show listeners. As again, that's DETCTactical.com. Go to the Hodges page. Well, Josh McCoy and I talked yesterday. So his appearance today is a little bit on the impromptu side. But Josh had a very, very negative encounter with law enforcement in his area. And it's not coincidental, folks. And yours truly, Dave Hodges, also has been set up by the powers that be. In fact, I'm coming out tomorrow with a podcast entitled Why is DARPA Targeting Dave Hodges? So we're both going to tell our stories and compare notes. And for that, from WYDE Radio in Alabama, covering four states and thousands of listeners, Josh Coy. Hi, Josh. Thanks for joining us.
How's it going, Dave? How you doing?
Good. There was a hesitation there. I thought we were going on 7-second delay for a second. Anyway, we're going to be short of time here to get into this in this half hour to get through both stories. So let's get right down to it. You go to your favorite quiet place to compose your material, prepare for your show, and take it from there. What happened?
I got to do this quick. I live in a really small town. That's like a population no more than 2,000 people, and that's exaggerated. But this little tiny little town has a, like most small towns, has become after 9/11 this Gestapo-like police force, and basically it's very militarized. We have like over 12 cars. We have no crime rate, basically. I think unless you catch a high school kid smoking pot somewhere, that's about it. So that's what really goes on in this town, and it's kind of become a joke in this town that I've grown up in. That especially after 9/11, you drive slow through this town because the cops have nothing to do, and they love to write you a ticket, and they love to harass young people. Now, I'm not a teenager anymore, but I have long hair, and I look like I look like a college kid because, well, I'm that age. So, apparently, these days in America, parking under a tree, an oak tree, too, Dave, an oak tree. I gotta admit that. Gotta be a man when you commit a crime, Dave. You gotta You got to be a man to admit it. And my crime was parking under an oak tree and riding for over about an hour and a half, I think. I like to go down to this place, and it's a little ballpark right down where I used to live. And, you know, it's kind of like it used to be a dirt road. They paved it, and it just kind of goes and dead ends into a little parking area where people just sit there and took their kids to the park or whatever. So that's where I always go, and I park. It's one way in, one way out. And I pull down there, and I park. I start doing my writing, doing my thing, and I get lost in it. And within an hour, hour and a half, I happen to glance up, and then caught my eye, and suddenly there are two local police cars, two parked right beside me. One kind of an unmarked white car, the other one your classic cop car. And they're just sitting there, and I didn't notice that they were there, so I didn't really, you know, I didn't know how long they had been there. So I'm waiting and getting my papers out, like they did in Nazi Germany. Thing now, apparently we live under a swastika flag now, and I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Finally, one of them gets out of the car and he walks around my vehicle and he's looking at my bumper sticker, and I have a 911 with an inside job bumper sticker on my car. So I'm sure that, you know, was fun for him to write down. He comes to the window and he asks me the classic cop question when you're sitting there doing nothing wrong. What you doing? I got a book in my lap and a pen and a notepad, and I said, well, I'm writing. I said, I do a radio show in Birmingham, and I come down here to do research, and I come down here to write, and I do it quite often, actually. As a matter of fact, I was harassed just yesterday. This is what I didn't tell you. I was harassed the day before. Same spot, same location, different police officer this time. He actually shook my hand in the end, said, how am I doing? I said, I'm fine. He said, you need any help? I said, no, I'm just sitting there writing. He said, all right, have a good day. And I shook his hand, he shook mine, that was the end of it. Less than 24 hours later, same park, same spot, different job, and this is what ensued. So I handed my license. Radio show. Oh, okay, or whatever. All right, I'll be right back. As he's running my license, which, as you know, of course, gives all the information they could ever want about you. Any
possible thing. Yeah, what it came back as is troublesome talk show host. So what happened after he came back with your license?
Well, as he was running it, four more cars pulled up. I think all together in the end, I think it was five cops, four cars, five cops, something like that. In the end, it was five police officers, but all of this for a guy sitting under a tree. And so they come back, they bring my license back, and they tell me that I have nothing on me. I have no record, no criminal record or whatever. I don't think I had a speeding ticket in like 4 years. So they hand my license. Okay, appreciate it. Now, here's what we're going to need you to do. We're going to need you to get out of the car. We're going to need you to walk over here. The officer's going to escort you over here. She's going to stand with these other officers, and we're going to bring the drug dog in, and he's going to walk around your vehicle. I said, what? Yeah, get out of the car. We're going to bring a drug dog in. And I literally had just this momentary momentary lapse of Nazism, where I said, no, wait, no, I don't live in Nazi Germany. I said, I think I live in America, and this is absurd. The words I actually used were just, no. And they looked at me kind of funny, and I threw my hands in the air. Dave, I said, no. What do you mean, no? I said, seriously, guys, this is absurd. This is ridiculous. I've done nothing wrong. At this point, they're all surrounding me. All of them have now gathered at my window. And this is you know, where it makes me a bit nervous. I have health issues, as most people who live in America these days, who eat what we eat and breathe the air we breathe. But I have severe health issues that I've had in my life. And even though I may look young or maybe a young person or whatever, I wanted them to know. I said, look, you know, I'm a very sick individual. So I have blood pressure problems. I have this, I have that. Stuff I'm born with, I may look normal, but I'm not. You may kill me if you push me to such a level of what you're doing. And, right, whatever. He's not getting out of the car. Oh, I'll get him out of the car. When I heard that, I knew I've got to get out of the car. Because if I don't, I don't really feel like being killed, because it tased me or mace me, which mace would probably kill me anyway.
Let's be specific. You have a catheter inside your body that if it broke, it would be life-threatening, correct?
Oh, thanks, Dave. Why don't you just call the NSA and give them my address and you know, just thanks. That's great, Dave. Thanks for it. No, but yes, I mean, everybody knows that. I've spoke about that on my show. So, yes, anybody who has ever had to do any type of or any kidney problems would understand. And yeah, it's very easy to end my life. And you know, you walk around and you just let the Lord guide you through every day. And that's the only way.
So
these guys
were preparing to manhandle you. Okay,
yes, they
to
were
get
reaching
you out of
for
your
my
car.
Door handle.
And they had no
they're
probable
reaching
cause
for my door
to
handle.
Put a drug dog. Yeah, they put no probable cause to put a dog in your car to search for drugs, other than the fact they're harassing you because they know who they have. So what ended up happening that turned the tide?
As I'm getting out of the car, I'm trying to get out of the car quickly. And as I'm getting out of the car, because they're yelling at me now, get out, get out, get out. And I'm putting all my stuff together, and I grab my cell phone, and I say, you know, what are you doing with your phone? I said, I'm trying to get out of the car, but I'm going to record this. And so I said, and they didn't really say anything at that point. They said, oh, well, it's... we've got body cams on. I said, no, I think I'd like my own record. As I turn on my phone, I'm getting out of the vehicle. They're escorting me around the vehicle. As they're escorting me around my car, about to be searched, I tell them, look, I already told the first officer I do a radio show here in Birmingham. And I'm saying this as I'm walking, as they're escorting me away from my car. I said, I do a show every Saturday night. It's here, you can hear it all over the state, online, everywhere, whatever. You guys may want to listen on Saturday because you're going to be on the show, just letting you know. And as I'm saying this, they went from laughing at it because one of them, you know, well, yeah, you know, anybody can have a, you know, anybody can have their own online show or whatever. No, it's actually a radio show. You turn on your radio in your car, you can hear it. We get over to the side. I've finished my little spiel, and I'm just letting you know, just to let you know that I am going to speak about this on Saturday on my show. Whatever. They bring the dog in. The dog comes over to my car. I stop them first, and right as they're about to begin the search, I said, wait, I don't want the dog going anywhere near my car. I know there are certain commands that you can give to the animal to make him bark, and therefore give you, quote, more probable cause to search my car. I said, I know the command. I've done the research. I've done the homework. And now they're very puzzled. And now they really don't know how to move forward. And it was a very obvious moment where everything just stopped. So I guess the merit being to that part, do your homework, guys. Just do your own homework on this. There are ways to make that animal do what they want it to do. So they tell me that, all right, well, you know, they kind of back up. Well, we're just going to run him around it. And I said, I don't want anybody tapping the car. I don't want them scratching at the car. And so as I'm trying to watch while he's moving the animal around my vehicle, more of them come over to talk to me. They're distracting. Finally, the dog is, quote, done. And the dog gets, I'm trying to do this quick, the dog gets two hits, apparently, on my car. So they come over and they tell me that, well, the drug dog got two hits. Got two right here on my passenger door here, two hits right there. And I said, and I overheard it, and then they came over to me, and I said, oh, did the dog smell, and I put air quotes up, marijuana in my car? And they went, well, no, I didn't know it was marijuana, but didn't you say something about you being sick? Yeah, I'm sick. I had these problems, X, Y, Z, whatever, and I take medication for it. Okay, so you ever have any medication in the car? All the time. I said, probably right now. I said, if you were looking at my floorboard, you'll probably find something I dropped. You can see my hands are shaking. Yeah, that's because this is what y'all have done to put me in this position. So sure, there's medication in my car. I'm sure there probably is. I'm sure that's what it's smelling. Yeah, okay. Hang on a minute. A little bit more talking. Finally, they could. What about Lortab or pain medication or cutting and start naming them off? What kind of medication do you take? And again, that whole being an American thing hit me, and it just I lost my head for a second. And I said, you know what? Constitutionally speaking, really, why don't you call my pharmacy here? I'll dial the number for you. They didn't want to do that. No, it's okay. All right, well, okay. Now it gets. This is the end of it. I know you get into yours. I'm trying to move. Now here's the part of the story that I don't know if it saved me or what, but two citizens who live on this little dead-end road right next to the park begin walking down the street towards us. I notice this as I'm arguing about the Lortab issue. They stop at the first couple of police officers, say a few things to them, and now the two citizens wearing just, you know, average clothes, they are escorted over to our circle. Now, all the officers, myself, and, of course, the nice drug dog, and the two citizens are all standing in a circle. And we're discussing something, so I said, what's up now? These guys have come over to explain. This is Josh Coy. He does a radio show. He parks here all the time. He sits here and he writes, and he's not bothering anybody. And I saw out my window, you guys are asking him, and I wanted to come over and let you know, there's no need to do this. Dave, you want to talk about like a instantaneous change. It was, and I've dealt with the police many times in my life. Wow. I've been harassed for years since I was 16, old enough to drive, because of long hair and I look like a rock and roll kid or whatever. And I've never had an incident end in the way that this one did.
Well, the cops backed off, though, did they?
Oh, it wasn't just backing off. They came back over, apologized, and I have all this on tape, every bit of it. And when they come back over and they begin to apologize, what they said was so funny, because they were trying to explain why I had been harassed in the first place, and it was because that I was parked alone, and because I had parked in a strange way. My car was backed in instead of pulled in. Right, because that gave them probable cause? Well, no, you see, then they said, all of it on tape, then they said, well, we have to sometimes run these drug dogs around people's cars, even if we know they've done nothing wrong. It's kind of a way to help us train the dog.
Oh,
now, I'm kind of,
yeah,
really,
we knock down your door to take the train or SWAT team. So, last question.
It was so absurd.
Did you talk about them? Josh, did you talk about him on your show last night? Did you give him all the credit they deserve for your show?
Of course I did,
good,
my friend.
Well, we're going to be posting the show this week. We've got to go through and take out all the copyright stuff, but we're going to post this interview, this radio show that Josh did on this topic. Well, it's kind of interesting. We had a run-in with authorities at the same time, and I'm going to tell my story very, very condensed, and I'm coming out with a podcast on this. I published an article on Saturday that talked about the fact that a senior DARPA scientist came out and basically said that microwave towers are emitting lethal radiation. It's done deliberately. And in his position, working in nuclear programs with a PhD from Princeton, he knows that. Okay, so he writes to these agencies, the specialized committees for the DIA, the CIA, the NSA, the DHS, and, you know, all the alphabet soups.
Right.
Three communications. This is sent to me. This is sent to me on April 8th, Friday night at 8:08 p.m. And there's a fourth communication that's in there. Now, I'm nowhere in the distribution list for the first three emails where this guy basically repeats himself three times telling how bad it is. Now, I published the article as an insider report because I've already reported on this through Virginia Farver, Deborah Tavares, and an insider at Arizona State University working on the same stuff. So we have this information and a great deal more, and I thought having a DARPA scientist say it would add credibility to get the cognitive distance crowd to believe it. So I published it, but also I knew at the same time I was being set up. And here's how I know I was being set up. I'm on the distribution list as a CC for the fourth email. Dave Hodges at thecommonsenseshow.com, which is my official email for the show, and no other journalist appeared there. That's called a setup. Now, this guy had a DOD, his name is Dr. Basco, and he had DOD Q clearance, the highest you can have. He knows how this game is played. He knows you do not hang a journalist out to dry in such an obvious fashion. He should have sent me these communications as a separate communication. He did not. And that's called a setup. And I'll tell you, it's such a sloppy setup. And this is what I had talked to people about pretty much all day yesterday, including yourself, Josh. And I had talked to various people getting their opinion on this. In fact, Josh's reaction, your reaction was interesting. When I told you that I appeared on the distribution list as the only journalist, you were saying, well, that may not be a place you want to be. And effectively, that's what Dr. Ted Broller said when I talked to him about it. And I said, you know, this is a setup. It's a sloppy setup because it's a warning. And why would they deliver a warning to me? Because 24 hours before delivering this email to me, I published an article at thecommonsenseshow.com regarding mind control experiments going on involving new technology with lab mice. And they were able to change, directly intervene and change the behavior of lab mice to what they wanted to see. And I extrapolated the meanings and I talked about how they're mammals and we're mammals and humans can be affected the same way. And I wrote another article a few weeks before on mind control because, see, this technology, the RF and the microwave emissions of this radiation, is done for two reasons. They want to mind control you on one end. That's one application of this going back to the days of Jose Delgado and the research dating back to 1961. And the other part is to kill and maim. There's two purposes behind this, and there's no question. And I've written extensively about both purposes. This was my warning from DARPA to shut my big mouth, because that's the only reason that can explain why I got such a really sloppy exposure to the alphabet soup agencies. Go ahead, Josh.
You've got to hear this, and I'll say this quick. You just now, you've said before, and you and I talked, you know, so much off the air, but you've said before that my research and your research, for some odd reason, always continues to come to cross with each other. I don't know why that is, but it's very bizarre. And I found something last night, and I did it on my show, and it was about the homeless, the disappearing of the homeless population. So I began to really dig into the story because there's a lot more there than I initially knew about. This crosses into what you just got through saying, and I just found the tip of the iceberg. Last night, live on the air, I found this tiny little story. And it led me down into an insane path, but it ties directly into the mind control / RFID and the two things that those will be used for. Like you're saying, you know, mind control is such a science fiction kind of sounding term, and people, it turns some people off. It's a very real thing. If you're listening to Dave Hodges' show, trust me, there's a reason, Dave, why they went after you with this. It's because you know that story so well.
Well, I got to get one more thing in here before we close. This is Dr. Paul Vashko. Who is he? He is who he is. I traced his resume. It's publicly available. He has all these advanced degrees from physics to our aeronautical and mechanical engineering. The guy is an ever-loving genius, no question. But he shouldn't have been surprised by the RFID technology, the microwave technology that he was reporting. This was a setup. Now, this man who worked at Los Alamos in the nuclear program, that was his last stop on his resume.
Wow.
1 month later, I hope everyone's sitting down now. I hope you're sitting down, folks. When I was contacted by him by email, he no longer was working as a DARPA scientist. He was now the senior vice president for Citigroup, and that is publicly available. And I have published it up on the Common Sense Show website. You can read it for yourself. This is called a setup. Now, I called around again and can talk to my sources. And how do you go from being a guy that's doing this kind of stuff to being a Citibank or Citigroup vice president? Simple. He made some startling discoveries in the area that I'm working on exposing. He's been compartmentalized. They retire you when you get to the end of your trail, and they don't start you in Chapter 2 because they want to compartmentalize and hold the material secret. So they put you on Wall Street or somewhere else with a cushy job, making $1 million a year. I tried to call the guy at 3 a.m. I don't like being set up. I don't like being exposed to danger. And that's what this was. And so far, the man hasn't had the guts to call me back. And I am calling him out for what he did, because someone who has a Q clearance in the DOD knows that you don't put a journalist on an open distribution list to all these committees he's been writing to for the past month, accusing basically these people as acting as terrorists trying to kill people. And I'm the only one who's getting the information. Are you kidding me? So,
You gotta do that podcast, Dave.
Well, the podcast is out. Anyway, my friend, we are out of time. We got about a minute left here. Let me just say this. You got two talk show hosts on the same time frame within a 24-hour period that were harassed by various forms of what we call the authorities. So, you know, and I don't want anyone to feel sorry for us, but I'm just saying that when you do this job and you get involved in this, there's an inherent risk. But the bigger risk is to sit there on our fat duffs and do nothing and continue to be subjugated. And this is why, you know, and I didn't get to say this when Steve was talking about Trump, because Steve was on a roll and I just wanted to let him go because what he was saying was so important. But I'll say this very, very clearly. It's not that I support Trump the man. I support the issues that are being surfaced as a result of Trump the man. And something else that I'm going to be talking about this week on a podcast, when I was on the Doug Hagman show, who, by the way, Doug's on the show next week. When I was on the Doug Hagman show last week, I talked about the RNC basically taking away our right to vote, and they're telling us we'll make the choice. And within 24 hours of being on Doug's show, I heard from RNC leadership, or rather yet, shall I say, Curly Hoagland, hid behind his wife, and his wife, 6 hours after the broadcast, wrote to me a 3-page email. And basically, it was justifying through God's will that we don't get to choose, that they're going to tell us who the choice is. So if you're tired of this tyranny, if you're sick of this crap, you need to get behind Donald Trump. Don't talk to me about women and abortions and this and that. I don't care about the man, Donald Trump. I don't care about his mannerisms or if he's presidential or if he hates women or he's going to build a 50-foot wall. I could care less. He's bringing millions of people to the battle, and that's what we need. Anyway, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us, Josh. Thanks to Katie. Thanks to Steve Whale. Thanks to Global Star Radio Network. Great job, guys. We'll see you back here next week with John Rappaport and Doug Hagman. Take care.